Please stand to honor the reading of God's word. Today's scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man was down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
There's a phrase that's kind of taken over popular culture with the advent of social media. It's called a humble brag. And it pretty much sounds exactly like what it is. You make a statement that might elicit sympathy, or you feel sorry for the person, and then they kind of hit you with something that's a little bit more braggy. There's a website dedicated towards celebrities' humble brags. And I'll share a couple of those with you to get what I'm thinking about in mind. This one from a budding young actress named Carolyn Fell. "I just stepped in gum. I mean, who spits out gum on the red carpet?" But here's another one from David Hasselhoff. "It's an evening with the Hoff. Britain's Got Talent, followed by my life story on Piers Morgan. Hopefully you won't get sick of me." Here's one more. The musical artist Joe Jonas totally walked down the wrong escalator at the airport, from flashes from the paparazzi. Go me! And just so I continue to throw myself under the bus here, unless you think I'm immune and avoiding this whole log and plank in the eye before pointing the speck out, most of you know my dad's a minister, and one of the things that I say to elicit sympathy is that we lived seven different places by the time I graduated high school, but one of those places was St. Simon's Island. So, all's fair out here in the world of humble bragging. And Scripture has a humble brag for us this morning in Luke's gospel, where you want to engage this person, the Pharisee, because he's a religious authority, and you think that there's something to his game. But then he starts opening his mouth, and you don't like what you hear. You see, before Facebook, before Instagram and Twitter, there was the temple, the real social media of the day in which people would go to see themselves and to hear themselves speak. They would go, some out of a desire to make a pilgrimage to experience God's grace and God's love, but other people were just in it for the wrong reasons. And so when Jesus introduces the character of the Pharisee, all of a sudden we associate it with someone in authority who has things figured out and thought out, and the Pharisee begins to speak. And we begin to lose sympathy. And then the tax collector, the evil, deplorable, who would abuse his own Jewish people and tax them far too high to line his own pockets and to enable the Roman government to their rule over the Jewish people, was not the good guy. And in the end of the parable, when we get to what Jesus says, he says, "I tell you, this man went down to his home justified more than the other." So what do we do when we pray to ourselves rather than praying to God? When we pray, "God, I thank you that I am not like these other people here, these cheaters and thieves and adulterers and Democrats and Republicans and even this tax collector. I fast, I give a tenth of my income." Was the Pharisee thankful for God, or was he thankful for himself? Was he praying about God's goodness, or was he praying about his own goodness? Dean Powery, or Luke Powery, Dean of Duke University Chapel, calls this religious atheism, practicing religion aesthetically, practicing the form of religion without the function. Literally, religion without God. Because we can all worship a time, a place, a thing. We can adhere to it and honor it and pray to it without it ever being God. So you can be a factual religious atheist if you're practicing without the presence of God in your life. When we pray to ourselves, when we exalt ourselves, when we deputize ourselves into the places and powers of judgment, when we use God's name in vain for human purposes of self-promotion, then we have failed God. Because just because someone says God doesn't mean that one knows or believes in God or follows God. James, in the book of James, reminds us that even the demons believe and tremble. And so the way that we honor God is humbling ourselves, not assuring ourselves in our own righteousness, not singing the Gloria Patri, praise God to whom all blessings flow, but when we start singing Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way, we've gotten off course. And here's the problem with the scripture, is that it makes us think that we are somehow entitled to stand up for God by putting someone else down. Like the Pharisee, those other people, the thieves, the rogues, the adulterers, and even this tax collector. So thank God that God doesn't play by our rule book, because if he did, then all these thieves, rogues, adulterers, and tax collectors would be running rampant. You see, the Pharisee was a religious atheist. He practiced religion without God, because he was able to despise someone else and to compartmentalize and say that they are other. But God's mercy extends the welcome far beyond where his own thinking would extend, inviting people into the wideness and depth of God's mercy, even the width and depth of Jesus on the cross. God does not play by our religious playbook, because God forgives unconditionally, according to God's standards and not ours. It's why we see the parable of the prodigal son in Luke's gospel, where the father sees his son far off and begins to run towards him, not to chastise him, but to welcome him, to embrace him into the kingdom. Religious atheists do not believe in that God of mercy, but it prevents God from being God. So I'm glad the Pharisee included who he did in his prayers. The thieves, the adulterers, the rogues. Because all of our faith seems to go rogue at times where we feel like we are far from God. Where we feel that we are far from God's presence. And we are reminded through not just the prayers of the Pharisee, but through the prayers of the tax collector, that God is quick, even for those who feel that their faith has gone rogue. God's mercy is about making every relationship right, not about the right religion winning. And that's what God's mercy is, showing up for us in unexpected places, not dependent upon us, but dependent upon the nature and kindness of God. Jessica Eves was shopping 6 years ago in a grocery store in Guthrie, Oklahoma, when her wallet was stolen. She spotted the man she suspected of taking it in a nearby aisle and went around and followed him and finally blocked him off and approached him and said, I think that you have something of mine. I'm going to give you a choice right here and right now. If you give me my wallet back, I'll take you to the front and I'll even buy your groceries for you. This man reached into his pocket and gave her wallet back to her and broke down in tears, thanking her for her mercy and her kindness. And she ended up spending no more than $27 on milk and bread and bologna and peanut butter and soup. And she said, some people were mad at me because I didn't turn him in, because I didn't seek the justice that I was due. But I'm reminded in life that sometimes all you need is a second chance. You see, my brother and I lost my dad to suicide when I was 7. And he told me that no matter what I became in life, to always be kind. Groceries can be signs of mercy. $27 worth doesn't seem like a lot, but mercy knows no price. Mercy is not about getting what we deserve, but it is about receiving what we need. God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. So we pray that God's mercy may move us closer to the other people, the thieves, the rogues, the adulterers, even the tax collectors, all others despised, because we have experienced God's mercy in our lives, and we recognize that nothing, that no one is out of the reach of God's redemption, even the humble braggers. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, have mercy on us, your sinners. May the mercy that we have been given be extended to all in need of mercy, and forgive us for the times when we draw walls from us to others. Help us to see your goodness and your grace and your mercy, which sustains us and carries us all the days of our life. And in all things, help us to rejoice in you, O Lord, our rock and our King. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.